1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate Your Word, Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts and to our minds so that we can come to a better understanding of what is being taught here, so that our lives may better reflect the teaching of Your Word, so that we might glorify You even more as we leave here with our lives. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You have heard it said, God will not give you more than you can handle. Really? A dear woman that I had the privilege to know for a few years as I once visited her asked me a question. See, she had been suffering from illness for many, many years, decades even. She had survived cancer, and even surviving cancer, she still suffered from many physical problems that plagued her. She lived a life of misery as a result of this. And she was a constant prayer request in our chapel, for she was constantly going into the hospital and then coming out of the hospital and then going back in, and we were praying for her various ailments. Indeed, her suffering was so constant that she was just a regular, well, this suffering was just a regular aspect of our congregation. Her walker, as she would come in, trudge up the aisle, painfully, with great labor, the breathing machine that she had to use, it was part of her, because without it, she couldn't breathe. And it was disturbing to see her to many people. Her hunched form, and her pitiful state. And often she would grab my arm, or she would grab the arm of another chaplain, desperate for prayer. And she wanted prayer right then and there. And so we would. We would pray for her right then and there for the physical and the mental pain that she was suffering. And when we prayed after that, she would go home. Well, her cancer returned. Her cancer returned on top of the many ailments that this dear lady was suffering from, and it was too much for her. And one day, as I was sitting with her at her home, and she asked me while she was weeping, she said, "Why do I suffer so much? What did I do to bring this on me? What did I do to deserve this?" And she had completely broken down. And she was worn down to where she had no internal strength whatsoever. I mean, she was broken. It defies words, really. What a horrible sin it would have been at that point in time to look at her and answer her question by saying, "Don't worry. God will not give you more than you can handle." Now, I've heard this false statement, this false hope repeated in various forums and locations, spoken to me from Christians who come from all sorts of backgrounds. And indeed, it has become ingrained as some sort of staple of conventional wisdom, that so much so that people actually think that it's a Bible verse, or that it's actually taught in the Bible. But it is not a Bible verse. It is not a Bible verse. It is rather a dangerous, dangerous saying. It's a distortion of the true promise of the Scriptures. Its focus is all wrong. Of course, we could analyze it and take it apart and show all the reasons that it's wrong. But one of the main aspects of it that is just a lie is that we must rely on our own strength to see us through. And this is because this plays into that tendency of prideful self-reliance. But we do have a tendency to rely on our own strength in times of trouble. Not only in times of trouble, but in our own strength to help us to walk after Christ, trying to follow Him in obedience and the resistance of temptation. If this prideful pull ourselves up by the bootstraps approach sets us up for a terrible fall. And this passage that we read today is generally considered the passage of 1 Corinthians 10:13 that has been evilly twisted to say that other thing. Let me read the Word of God again for you. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Taking a single verse out of context has led to many a heresy. So we really do have to consider the context of this particular verse. The context is, and that this verse falls within a larger passage, that Paul up to this point has been just really laying into the Corinthians, particularly those who would willfully eat of meat that was sacrificed to idols. And he goes on to this. He starts in chapter 8 and goes through chapter 8 and he goes to chapter 9. And we here he's still going in chapter 10 and he continues on to chapter 11, verse 1. And this is the larger context in which we find this particular verse. The problem was that these people had so much confidence in their own knowledge and sufficiency, and they're being part of the church, and they're partaking of the sacraments at church, and that they confidently flirted with idolatry, expecting everything to be just fine. After all, they had partaken of the spiritual blessings of Christ, so what did they have to fear from idols? They had no power over them. Idols were their fool. Paul, knowing this, removes this delusion from them in no uncertain terms, warning them that they risk God's wrath in their hubris. Paul's statement, verse 12 here, against the self-sufficient arrogance of the Corinthians is, and this is right before our passage, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, Paul's point here that he's making is that it is foolish to knowingly and deliberately flirt with idolatry and engage in sin. Such hubris, which is arrogance before God, risks destruction as the consequence for sin. And the problem with the Corinthians that they were dealing with that led them perhaps in a way to do this, was that heeding Paul's warning and refusing to eat of meat sacrificed to idols would likely bring great difficulty upon them in the idolatrous society of Corinth. And without going into all the details of that idolatrous society, it is safe to say that avoiding overt association with idols would invite hostility, possible financial loss, social ostracism, and even hatred from friends, neighbors, and family, all who were caught up in idolatry. And this put tremendous pressure upon them. And it made the temptation to flirt with idolatry and its trappings all that more difficult for them. But Paul didn't just leave them with a warning, chewing them out, so to speak, for doing it. He assured them that despite the difficulties that they would incur by living a life so different from the world, that God would see them through and he would help them to stay faithful. And so verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. It just does not do to put ourselves in a position to flirt with idols of any sort and their demands of us and expect that all to be okay. That's just not the Christian way of life. For the heart of sin is idolatry, something that we have put above God. Whether the idol is our career, whether it's our position, our self, comfort, riches, entertainment, our family, or what have you. In many cases, if the idol is something such as the self or even our children, how do you flee yourself? How do you flee your children? In many cases, the only option is to first recognize that we have made an idol out of whatever it may be, and then repent that sin, repent it, deny raising up whatever it is to be an idol, deny the idol, and so therefore flee the idolatry and the sin that comes out of engaging in idolatry. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:9, we must not put Christ to the test. We are to flee from idolatry and the sin that accompanies it. Now, we are not on our own in this. We are not on our own. God will always provide an out so that His people might stand in the face of temptation. God is faithful. And He would see that we would also be faithful as His people. Even more, He gives us His Spirit to help us in such times, and He gives us the strength that we need so that we might resist sin. Philippians 2:13. And with the Spirit, you can resist. You can resist sin, standing strong in the Lord, standing strong in Him and in the strength of His might. And we read of that in Ephesians 6. I remember my friend whom I mentioned earlier. Now you may wonder how I answered her question. Now clearly I didn't answer her by saying, well, don't worry, God won't give you more than you can handle. Such would have appealed to the idol of self and the sin of self-sufficiency to deal with the temptations that she faced in her misery. If she didn't know better and she clung to such a lie and her failure to handle the situation, and let me tell you, when you are broken like that, you cannot handle the situation in your own strength. And I saw in this woman, she was broken. In her failure to handle the situation, if she had believed such a lie, she may have fallen, succumbing to temptation and despair. And she may have done as Job's wife counseled and cursed God and died. And rather, as I sat there with her and as I looked her in the eyes, I only had the promise and the teachings of Scripture to rely on as I replied to her. And that is where the only place we can find the truth in such a situation. So I told her, I said, you haven't done anything to bring this upon yourself. But I don't know why He allows you to suffer so. And then, of course, we had a further discussion. We turned to Job and we talked about Job's situation. She knew the Scripture. She told me she had read that book over and over and over and over again. In a further conversation, I told her, I said, well, although I don't know why God allows you to suffer, what I do know is that in your suffering, what He expects from you is to be faithful to Him and to trust in Him. And we talked about her calling upon His strength to help her through. Now, she knew the promise of Christ. She was a Christian lady. And in her hope, she called upon the Lord. She held on to the Lord's promise so tightly, it was amazing to see her just in the desperation that she held on to this promise of Christ. And so it was that she could say with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will stand upon the earth." And so we prayed together. Now she prayed for the Lord's help. She prayed for the Lord's strength to help her see, to help her get through all her troubles and the pain that she was dealing with. And sure, of course, we prayed for healing. We pleaded with the Lord to heal her body so she might have the help that she had once had. But we also prayed that if God chose not to heal her, and so often He chooses not to heal us, if God chose not to heal her, that she would be enabled to remain faithful to Him, resisting the temptation to turn away from Him and her pain, whatever might come, all the way to the end. And it was just a few short months later that she died. And I believe that God answered her prayer. I believe that. Every day we are tempted. Temptations come by the means of the media, computers, our interactions with people, whether they be co-workers, friends, our spouse, our children. Temptations come. Even driving around, there's all sorts of temptations out there. The curse of that person that cut us off in traffic, or perhaps to drive a little fast, recklessly even, trying to get to that place we need to be to, or need to get to because we're running late. But God is faithful. He provides us an out in the midst of temptation. We must take pains to refuse the deliberate flirtation with sin, and so putting God to the test. Now, one man that I've heard of, and you may have heard this story, is whenever he would go on business trips, he would ask the people at the hotel to take the TV out of his room. And the reason he did that is because he knew that if he was going to be sitting in there at night by himself and he would turn that TV on, that there were sexually explicit material, and he'd sit in there in that room, it was just too much of a temptation for him, and he knew that he would be living dishonorably for the Lord. So he'd have the TV removed from the room, removing the temptation. Sounds like a good idea to me. And now if you struggle with drunkenness, well, it's probably just not a good idea to go to the bar with your friends as they are imbibing and enjoying alcohol. Because the temptation could easily be too strong for you in such a case. Identify those things that would tempt you. Think upon the underlying idol, whatever that idol might be, that would lead you astray. And resist. Flee the idol. And flee the sin. God is faithful. He will provide a way out for you so that you might live according to His glory. His glory. Following an idol does not lead to His glory. And so God provides a way for you to follow Him and live according to His glory. Following Christ on the path of righteousness. To rely on our own strengthness. To think that somehow we have inside of us the strength to do this in the way that God expects us to do. When it comes to living in obedience to Christ, we set ourselves up for a fall. We simply don't have the strength inside us to live that life of righteousness, totally faithful to God, in which we are called to live. That God Himself will provide for us what we need in order to remain faithful to Him, for He is faithful. call upon God, our ever-present help. Call upon Him, whatever may come. Keep Him first and deny the idols, because we are tempted constantly. As soon as you leave here, you're going to be tempted. You're probably tempted right now for something. It's just constant in our life that we are tempted. And because of this, we must trust God to give us the strength and to show us the way out so that we can escape the temptation to sin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate this passage, as we think about the temptations that we face throughout the day, as we look deep inside ourselves and consider what idols may be in our lives, and how is our behavior affected by those idols and the sins that we have. Lord, I pray that You would give us each the discernment to recognize what we have raised above You, so that we might deny that idol in repentance, and so that we might be able to resist sin in Your strength. Lord, I pray that You would help us to walk according to Your will and to Your glory in our lives. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who has made it so that we can follow You, our Savior, our Lord. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.